Hallelujah. So you can stay standing a minute. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. You ever seen a mime? Where a guy stands like this and he turns around like somebody else? Hey, welcome, family. I'm so glad you came together today. Man, I'm so happy for you guys. I love you. Glory to God. You're such an awesome example of my love, sweetheart. Oh, wow. Thank you for giving your life to me. Have some. And Brother John. Hallelujah. A businessman that I've called to represent me in the business realm. Yeah. And it's my joy, John, my son, to give you my kingdom. Go for it, son. Yeah. Don't hold back. It's only forever. Right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I got gifts for all of you today. Yeah. Hallelujah. Just because you're sitting in the back doesn't make any difference to me. I'm there too. Hallelujah. Yeah, I sent a man loaded with my spirit. And I've given him gifts to pass on to you. So don't come just to see, come to receive. Glory to God, because I got something for you. Hallelujah. Yeah, don't be a spectator, be a participator. We are all in this together, he said. I have chosen you, I've called you, I've anointed you, I've appointed you, I've given you everything you need in life. You don't have to come begging to me. Just get a revelation of what I've already given to you. I've given you everything that pertains to life and to godliness, so you don't have to come begging today. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I know your desires. I know your needs. I know everything you need. Amen. And desire, because I put them in there if they're all good for me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Glory to God. That's for you, sweetheart. And that's a special gift coming to you. Glory to God. Yeah, you'll remember this one. Glory to God. Because this gift's going to change your life. The way you live. Oh, yeah. I know you've been talking to me about, you know. Hallelujah. Hey, how about you? Good God. Those are all gifts. Oh, wow. So you came to celebrate. Yeah. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and celebrate together. Yeah. Glory to God as you celebrate. Yeah. Glory to Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just pretend you're in a black church. Oh. Excuse me. We just need to celebrate. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you, you came to church not to sit there and just listen to some guy talk. Glory to God, we're here to get revelation. Give you revelation and how to live the abundant life. Glory to God. Forget about what's working out there right now. Man, you're in the presence of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. You've come to worship Him and to lift Him higher, glory to God. Amen. And boy, that's why I came, to reveal my Father who loves you, who desires you, who has a plan for you, who is working it all out for you. So there's no worries on your part. All you got to do is praise the Father. Praise the Father. And begin to see that which I have given to you and departed and put in you. Yes, glory you, to Lord. God, so you can live the abundant life.
Thank you, Lord.
The abundant life. Not a mediocre life. I didn't ever create a mediocre life. And yes, be encouraged because I've chosen you.
Amen.
Yeah, I chose you first.
Yes.
I made you for my glory. And I gave each one of you a different job description. So that way you don't have to compare yourself one to another. Yeah, you can encourage one another to go higher, to step further into my presence and move by faith. Yeah, that's the lifestyle of my children. So this is the day to rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. And to focus on the things that are really eternal, that really mount to something. Yes, you've got to live life and do your stuff, but I tell you what, in that, you can still rejoice and be glad. Glory to God, because I've called you to be the light in a dark place. Yeah, if you're sitting in a place where they're not honoring me in any way, and it's a tough place, rejoice because you're at the right place. Put a smile on your face and let me shine through you, and that light in you will dispel the darkness and cause great and mighty things to happen where you work. Glory to God. So, yes, this is the day of encouragement. Encourage one another to step out further than you've ever stepped before. Glory to God. And to open up your mouth and let me fill it and witness. Yeah, praise God. You've got some good things to talk about. Hallelujah. I'm not a bad God, he said. Man, I am a good God. I'm the happiest God up here. Glory to God. And I'm not broke. Hallelujah. And it's my desire to make you and give you that which you need to fulfill the call that's on your life. Hallelujah. So I'll let my son Dave speak now. Hallelujah. And I'm going to enjoy the meeting too. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Boy, it's good to be here. Glory to God. I love your pastors, man. I'll tell you what, they are the salt of the earth. There's nothing counterfeit about these guys, man. I'll tell you what. Ooh, I hate to be around religious people. They make me nervous. Hallelujah. But boy, we family. Been family ever since we met each other. And I love and respect you and honor you and you're this family together. And yeah, that's really awesome. And life's based on relationships, right? Yeah. And so what? This is John Stanhope here, son. I've adopted him. I'm better looking than he is, but...
We look just like each other.
How many years we've been together, John, if we met each other?
Close to 30.
Close to 30 years. Yeah. I came to Praise Fellowship 19 years in a row. And that's where I met you.
Yep.
Yep. And where was it before that? Wow.
That was it.
Yeah. Man, I remember, this guy was there all the time. Good-looking guy. Hallelujah. He's got a great family. I've been with him the last 3 days in their house. Great, wonderful grandchildren. Yeah. Man.
Awesome.
Yeah, your little grandson. How old is he, too, singing?
2.5.
2.5 years old. You ought to hear him sing, man. Oh, wow. Awesome. But anyway, we've had a great time together with Freedom Ministries up there. And I honor John because we all have different job descriptions. Anything you want to say, son?
These last 3 days with Dave, what was on our hearts were, they were sponsored by Freedom House Ministries, and it was breakthrough to destiny. And we saw that over and over and over again in the lives of people and families and in that ministry. So I'm just releasing that to you guys this morning. Amen. There's more in God for your destiny, and reach out and grab it all today. Amen. Dave gives you permission to go for it. God gives you permission to be a glory hog. Just go for your destiny. Amen.
Amen. That's right. So Jesus gave gifts, praise God, to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, these are gifts. I'm a gift. So don't just look at the gift. I don't know if you'd like to get a gift, man. I'm none of this trying to save the wrapping paper. What a God, I got to get in there and see what's there. See?
Yes, that's right.
And if you unwrap me, Jesus is going to pop out. Hallelujah. Man, I'll tell you what. Man, you know what I found out? If I don't have fun, you won't. That's why a lot of churches are dead, man. Pastors, you know. You know what? When God called me, he said, now, Dave, don't get religious on me. That's what he said. Be yourself. Yeah. You know, even at my age, I think I need deliverance. I'm coming 77, and I tell you what, I go to different churches and different places, and if the pastor's late picking me up, I hide from him. It just gives me a thrill to just see the pastor run around that airport. There's only one problem with that. When I go back next time, they're hiding from me. Yeah. So, man, I'll tell you what a joy to preach the good news. Man, we don't have to come begging today. It's all been done. We've been singing that. It's a done deal. Glory to God. Yeah. So, man, I come, praise God. I figured this thing out with healing. You know, Jesus, you got to really listen what the Bible says. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They will heal the sick. He didn't say they will pray for the sick. You know, you can tell some Christians, I'm going to go heal the sick. What? Who do you think you are, little Jesus? Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're carrying him. We're not working for Jesus. We let him work through us. He called us to work through us, to be a voice for him. Man, you know, when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, man, I said, I got to go tell somebody. See, I got wound up. This weed got filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. I went to my church when I was 30 years of age, Saturday night, the night before. I went to a full gospel, got loaded with the Holy Ghost. They should have locked me up for a while because, man, I got loaded. And boy, on a Sunday morning like this, I knew all my relatives, my Swedish relatives, would love to hear what I got to say. I got up in front of the church and said, man, I went to this meeting last night. See, that's not me. That wasn't me before. I wouldn't even hardly say anything. And I got loaded with the Holy Ghost and I speak in tongues. You all want to hear? Nobody went, hallelujah, Dave. In fact, they had a special meeting that week, and I wasn't invited, and that was the end of my time there. Yeah, my dad helped found the church. I went there 30 years, and they dismissed me just when I got good. So I ended up in a Presbyterian church, and they didn't care who came in there. Hallelujah. So I got the pastor and his wife and about 12 elders filled with the Holy Ghost, and we had a Holy Ghost Presbyterian church. We had prayer and praise, and every Thursday night, practicing on each other. Yeah, we didn't know what we were doing. We was led by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. I mean, right away, during praise and worship, I could walk along and talk to people and say, you want the Holy Ghost, don't you? Just like that. I thought it was normal. Pastors would come. Boy, when one guy said, boy, did you prayed for that guy last night? He was a Lutheran pastor. He got loaded with the Holy Ghost. I said, well, he just lost his church. He did. He got kicked out of there. Got a bigger one in Denver. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. But I was thinking, I've done a lot of traveling. See, God asked me, how much of this harvest do you want? You see, I had a farm and I had a ranch. And how much of this harvest do you want? I believe he's asking all of us. How much of this you want? It's only forever.
Glory to God. So he went through 1 acre, 100 acres, you know, township, states, nations. Jesus said, ask largely so that your joy may be full. See, I don't just believe this church is a little, is a church sitting on the corner here. It's got a bigger vision. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you're touching the earth. Amen. Boy, that's what I wanted. Hallelujah. I asked for nations. I didn't know how I was going to get them. I hadn't been out of the city limits yet. Be faithful in little. You want to find out what you got? Serve the pastors. Serve the church. Serve the body. Amen. If you see something that needs to be done, don't say, I wonder why that's not being done. God just called you. That's your job. Hallelujah. So that's what we did. We just served the people, served the pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor because I was an elder for a while. I'm not against elders. I was an elder. I felt sorry for the pastor most of the time. This is before I got spirit filled. Yeah. Hallelujah. So when God called me to be a pastor, I said, no, thanks. Not interested. I heard about this pastor didn't want to go to heaven. He heard there are 24 elders up there. You know what he's talking about? So anyway, glory to God. But God showed me how to do that. Glory to Jesus. So anyway, God just worked my life that way. But I've been traveling a lot. Hallelujah. I kind of changed my church around. We're only having one meeting a month. I've been pastor for 43 years. But you see, at my age, I got to make everything count now. See, I'm just starting in life. Not that I'm finishing. I'm just starting. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm never going to retire. And I'm not against anybody that's retired. No. That's just me. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach all the days of my life. I'll be back if you're still here. I'll have a beard down to here. Hey, everybody. Awesome. Hallelujah. You know, God, the way God's made our bodies, it's really unique. They believe what you say. It's a proven fact. If you say, I'm sick, the body says, that first cell will hear that and go, we're sick. And they tell the other cells, and pretty soon you're going, I'm sick. My God. It's true. I get up every morning and say, hey, everybody in there, we are feeling good. We feel good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But what I'm saying to, getting to here, in my travels, boy, in August, brother, I went 25,000 miles. Went to 4 countries. That was my travel agent. Man, that was just about too much. I don't have that much back here, and that's a lot of sitting. Yeah. But boy, I met a guy in England, another Swede. I've never ministered with another Swede. And he was from Sweden. And he told the most amazing story. God called him to go to Albania. Years ago, when Albania was against the law for anything, everything about God was banned. There's no churches, nothing. And God called him to go. See, for God so loved the world, he didn't send a committee. He's looking for somebody, someone that will do what he says. And he snuck into Albania. God got him in there. And he went to the capital city or whatever it is. And God told him one morning, get his suit on, go down and stand in front of the parliament building. He went down and stood, just stood there a couple minutes. Guy walked by and said, may I help you? And he said, yeah, I want to talk to the top man in this country. He said, I'll take it to him. Never said, who are you? Nothing. Took him right up to the guy that was the head of Albania. Introduced, said, I'm from Sweden. They talked about Sweden. And I'll tell you, this guy has more guts than a Texas slaughterhouse. I'll tell you what. Man. I'll tell you what. He told that president or whatever, whoever it was, he said, the reason this country's in such bad shape, you kick God out of here. You got to let God back in this country.
And he started preaching to this guy, man. And this guy got some tears in his eyes, and he said, how do I do that? And he looked out the window, and the big stadium was there right out the window. And he said, I'll tell you how we're going to do it. You're going to give me that stadium in 3 weeks, and you're going to pay for it. And I'll come and preach Jesus. And the guy said, just a minute, I'll get the right guy for this. And they gave him permission. Came back. There's only one television station in the nation. And God told him this. In 3 weeks, the entire nation will know about Jesus. And they broadcast all that. 1 week's meeting in the stadium. I don't know how. He changed the nation. Thousands and thousands of people got saved. They had marches down the street for Jesus singing hallelujah. That's Albania. He opened up the whole country. That's a miracle story. Whoa, that's a Jesus story. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And so it just takes somebody, and we all have different assignments, different calls, but just to be obedient to what God has us to do, we can change nations. Thank you, Jesus. So, man, I'm telling you, I'm really excited because God has given us a network of churches and ministries. We're in, I think, 55 countries right now, just aiding pastors. We don't have that much money to give people. We give them materials, good, the right message, praise God. So we are touching nations. Hallelujah. So I'm here to encourage you. You're at the right place, right time, with the right people. Amen. Glory to God. So make yourself available. Thank you, Jesus. And don't be bashful to speak. You know, I was with a guy named Tan in Brazil. He's the boldest guy I've ever seen, man. Yeah, in just an hour in a shopping center, we led about 13 people to Jesus. That's awesome. And there's this movie was just shown down there. I was just told a story about Left Behind or something. So at the end of the movie, he jumps up and he starts telling about Jesus. He said, I want to tell you how you can accept this Jesus and that you'll know where you can go. And the people thought he was representing the film. And man, he got about 50, 60 people saved right there in the movie theater in about 5 minutes. Man, you got to be open to these things. I heard a guy on the radio the other day. He was in a Walmart and he's in the line checking out. And he asked this lady how she was and if she needed a healing. And anyway, he prayed for her right there just as they got to the checkout, you know, the cashier. And she was healed. So the guy reaches over and tells the gal checking out, said, is that a microphone? Yeah, I said, may I use it? He goes, hey, everybody in Walmart here. He said, over in line number 6. He said, this lady, Jesus just healed this woman. How'd Jesus heal you? And so she gave her testimony. And he said, anybody else want to be healed? Come to aisle 6. Hey, the worst thing they can do is kick you out. You know, we got to get rid of ourselves. Just let God flow through us. Glory to Jesus. Man, that's good, isn't it? I preach myself happy. Hallelujah. You know what? You mind if I bring this over here? You know why I'd like to do this? Because you won't go to sleep on me this way. See, it's safe when you sit behind this, isn't it? Most pastors, that's why they hide behind this thing. They're safe. But boy, once you get up from behind this thing, it starts getting interesting. Some guys say, don't send him this way. Man, I had an old man. I told the story. He was snoring in the back. He was snoring louder than I was preaching. So I thought I'd give that old man a charge. So I went back there and sat on his lap. Shoot, when he woke up, I thought I was going to raise him from the dead, man. He couldn't even breathe. I said, you enjoying the meeting?
Glory to God. He won't go to sleep in my meetings anymore. This traveling mic is good. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what? Jesus came down here and put a face on God. Yeah. You know, I went to Russia, Riga, Latvia, before it was ever opened. And so I went with another pastor, and we went to Finland, got in on a vodka tour down to Riga. So you got to use what's working. So we got in on a vodka tour. They'd go down there and buy cheap vodka. We left the tour once we got there. Yeah, so, man, it was really interesting. And on a Sunday morning, I ended up in a Russian Orthodox Baptist church. That's messed up. These people hadn't smiled in 72 years, man. And I had an interpreter that just did not know what... Well, how many people has she interpreted for? You know, I'm not blaming her, but I'm trying to fire up these Russians, and I go, praise God! And my little interpreter's down there, slava bogo. Praise God! Slava bogo. I walked over to this person, I said, hey, your job is to act like me. Say it like I say it. It didn't work. Man, we had a meeting. If I have to tell you, man, I had a word of knowledge. You know, the Holy Ghost said somebody's been hit by a car here. And so I said, anybody been hit by a car here and interpreted, say it? One guy came with one crutch like this. So in Russia, they don't have catchers. Nobody gives anybody a courtesy drop. So, man, I'm on the pulpit, so I went, I shot that guy, and he, boom, hits the floor. He got up. I don't know what he said, but he goes, and the Holy Ghost said, the power's in the crutch. Anybody touches the crutch gets healed. So the interpreter said that. So they ran for the crutch. So one guy stepped on the crutch. He came off the ground that far. Bam! He gets up and he goes, and then there's 10, 15 people running for the crutch. So I got a pile of Russians there, see? And my job as a pastor is to move the crutch. So I pull the crutch out from under him. I go set it over there. I get another pile of Russians. And then I get another pile of Russians. See, they don't teach you that in seminary. My job, move the crutch. That's all I had to do, move the crutch. So that night, see, I got a maiden point in this, what the Holy Ghost did to me. You know, I was laying in bed, and I think, oh, my God, that was awesome. Wow. Boy, and I was just telling God what a deal he was. And that's when the Holy Ghost started giving me this story that Jesus came down here and put a face on God. Yeah. And he's saying, your job as an interpreter is speaking for the guy that's speaking, right? So the Holy Ghost said, you are interpreting for me. And you know what he said? Say it like I say it. Act like me. Oh. That turned me loose. That's true. I'm interpreting. Watch this. I take no credit for that. I'm interpreting. I saw Jesus walk over and kiss you, so I'm putting a face on Jesus. Happiest man on earth. That's what it says. Hebrews 1:9 had more joy above all his fellows. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. So we got the happiest God in the universe. He's the only God up there, but he's the happy one. He's not ticked off today. Now, hallelujah, he's happy, full of joy. Thank you, Jesus. So am I. I'm interpreting. Hallelujah. And it's just like when people read God's word, you know, wound up like, I'm going to read out of the Message, okay? The Message, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Is this the way Paul wrote it? With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that faithful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer. That's not what Jesus said. Remember when Jesus went and announced to his home church, the synagogue? That's what they say in Africa, synagogue. They asked Jesus to stand up and read. And it says Jesus found the place. He didn't play Bible roulette. Let's see. We're gonna. No. He's making an announcement. I love Jesus. You talk about shock treatment. They knew him, the carpenter's son. But they didn't know what happened. When he had that a time when God called him and he announced, when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes a..." See, his whole ministry started right there. And as soon as John said that, his ministry was over. How'd you like to be born for all those years and make one statement and you're over? He said, "I must decrease," and he has to increase. And so Jesus met the devil and he proved. You see, Jesus had to do everything legally. He had to fulfill the law perfectly. And so he said he went back to his hometown with the power of the Holy Ghost. He didn't have to take out an ad in the paper, the Jerusalem Post, miracle service tonight. He was the miracle. So he's going to make an announcement to his relatives. He found the place. Can you just picture this? I got such a great imagination. I don't know if they had pulpits or whatever he stood. Man, he found the place. It's in Matthew 4. But sit back in Isaiah. Glory to God. I bet you Jesus got up. He didn't get up and go, "Well, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He's making an announcement, man. Can you see Jesus? I bet he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Yes. Boy, they... "He's anointed me to preach the gospel." He's making an announcement. And he said he went and sat down. Do you know there was only one chair in the synagogue? They all stood up. One chair sat in the front, reserved for the Messiah. Getting the picture? He went and sat down in the Messiah's chair. Been empty for hundreds of years. And from the chair, he said, "This day history is made in your ears." Oh, I bet his relatives went, "Yay, the Messiah." No. If you read the Bible, they got ticked off. It was probably his relatives that led him to the brink of the hill to throw him over. I bet Jesus got right to the stop, right to the point, and he goes, "Nice view, boys, but not today." That's not in the Bible, but he walked right through them. See, he's all life. They could have bounced him off the rocks. He wouldn't have died. There's no death in that man. No death in him. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? And you know what I just read, Pastor? That there's a Jewish guy. He's like a shipping magnate in Israel. He's been given permission by the tourist department to make a statue bigger than the one in Rio of Jesus. And you know where they're going to put it? On Mount Precipice, where they were going to throw him over. That's a God deal. I think he's getting the last laugh. I hope they put a big smile on his face. Hallelujah. That's in Israel. Amazing days, aren't they? Thank you, Jesus. But let me read this. This is the crux of the message in Romans 8. In the message, it says, with the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that faithful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Is that good so far? Let's pretend we're in a black church here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, boy. I need some help. Yeah, that's right. Helping. Hallelujah. I was in a black church the other day, and man, this guy stood up and he said, shake that bush one more time. So we're going to shake this bush. God went for the jugular vein when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son, Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling in humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could have never done that. The law actually ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing on it. And now what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit has done and doing in us. Boy, that's freeing. Paul said the law gives strength to sin. Hallelujah. And you know, there's so many churches preach law and grace. Man, I got a book back there. This little book changed your life. Grace Beyond Measure includes why the law was given. Yeah, we're not under the law anymore. You know, the Ten Commandments are really great, but nobody can keep them. You know, we even fight to keep the Ten Commandments in school, but you know what? The Ten Commandments aren't for Christians. They're good for the world. But the Ten Commandments were nailed to the cross. The law was nailed to the cross that we couldn't keep. So now we're under grace. Everything's a gift. It's a gift. I take credit for nothing, anything. I just got corrected by my wife. I had such bad English, man. When I started preaching, she wrote so fast. And when I finished, man, on the way home, she told me all of my mistakes. Boy, I hated to preach. Somebody had to start somewhere. You know, when I told my wife we're going to start a church, she said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Besides that, who'd be the pastor? See, that's the encouragement I got. I went out behind the barn and said, God, you made that woman. You got to change her mind, man. I'm willing, but she's not. And God changed her mind. Hallelujah. Boy, I don't know where all this comes from, but it's good. Yeah, hallelujah. Listen to these. Those, in verse 5, those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. That's what the pastor was talking about. Man, we need to go for it. Hallelujah. You know, I like that airplane story. That's good, brother. That reminded me of a story. You know, they down in Georgia, they hired a new aircraft controller, and there was a woman. Sorry. But anyway, this guy's coming in, and she ordered this guy to come in this one runway going south.
And then another guy called in and he ordered her to come in, him to come in on the same runway from the south. This one pilot radioed in and told her what she had done, and there was quiet, it was silence, and all at once she said, "Y'all be careful now, you hear?"
Hallelujah. I have to laugh at my own joke sometimes. I'm a little bit different. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I can stop and tell another good joke right now, but I better not. This is reading the word. Hallelujah. You know, I'm thinking about Brother Hagin, man. You know, I don't know, but I happened to end up in Tulsa years ago, and I went to Rhema. I didn't go to Rhema College. I wanted to go see Rhema. So I got Brother Hagin all by himself. So he gave me a personal tour of, and so I was nervous. I'm with the prophet. So I got back, and I'm literally kind of shaking. And I said, in his office, said, "Brother Hagin, would you pray for me?" You know what he said? "Nope, I won't." I about passed out. He said, "But there'll be a time when I will." I honor that. He could have prayed a prayer over me, but he was so honest. He didn't have anything for me. He could have got something, I'm sure. Yeah. So that cost me a lot of money. Because I had to go where he was at. You know what I mean? Yeah, again and again and again. And so we're in Bob Yanian's church, about 1,700 people in there at a big conference. And God told me where to sit. Third row, right back there on the end. Bonnie said, "I want to go inside." "No, right there." And so Brother Hagin, you know how he preached. And then he gets in, after he got preaching, he was in half in the spirit and half in English. And he's wandering that way. And I put my radar on him. "Bring him, Jesus, bring him." I'm not joking. He was going that way and he turned right around and came to me. Walked right up to me. Had my wife and I stand out. He said, You've got a big vision and dream, and God is laughing at him." I didn't know if that was good or not. And he raised his hand and he said, "They will all come to pass." And as I'm falling, I'm not joking, I heard God laugh. I heard him laugh. There's a pastor in St. Louis. I can't remember his name, but I was sitting next to him. And when he laughed, he went, "Ha, ha, ha." I went, "Sound just like God." I hit him. I said, "That's God's laugh." Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. So I was telling that story in Dennis Capper's church many years ago, 25 years ago. And I got so excited I hit the pulpit. Bam! And it split in half. Anyway, that's on America's Funniest Home Videos. Have you seen me on there? I had more hair then. They're still showing it. Guy called me last week, said, "I saw you again." I got a t-shirt out of that. But you know what? The world has heard God laughs. That's good. Hallelujah. Well, back to the word. Hallelujah. Those who trust God's action in them find themselves that God's spirit is in them. Living is a living and breathing God. Obsession with self is in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into spacious, free life. Jesus came to set us free. We should be the happiest campers on earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I told myself, "Self, you're going to laugh your way to heaven. That's my choice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It says, throw yourself a party. I wrote a book back there, throw yourself a party. If you haven't had to throw one yet, you're going to have to. But that's a little deal, you know. Consider it all joy, my brethren, various problems, trials. They're going to come. You're supposed to throw yourself at the party. My wife has thrown out so many parties, we wore out the grass in the back. That's better than committing suicide. You know, it's all temporary anyway. Temporary. It's temporary. Guess what? You're going to learn something out of that. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Life has its problems. They all have problems. You know, most millionaires have been broke three or four times. They didn't quit. So my motto is, get started and don't quit. Glory to God. I'm not quitting. Man, we lost our fortune with my brothers. Hallelujah. We went and ate a steak. We celebrated. Kept going. What looked like a total disaster to me was one of the greatest things that ever happened because I got loaded with the Holy Ghost at that time. And if we'd still been successful in these two ranches, airplane, everything, I'd still be chasing cows around the pasture. But God made good out of it. Hallelujah. I got in the ministry. Glory to God. And so, man, I look back. I feel sorry for my brothers. But anyway, as it had to happen for me, great deal for me. Glory to Jesus. Man. So, boy, I feel so blessed. But prophetic words are so powerful. Man, prophetic words burst ministry. You know what? When I popped out, I'm the youngest of 13 kids. My mother was 46 or 7 when I showed up. I barely made it. And when I came out, she went, Dad, we got our preacher. Holy Ghost. Her voice went into me. It birthed it. She just said what God said. That's a prophetic word, right? Yeah. Glory to God. So that birthed ministry. Thank you, Jesus. My dad went around the sale barn saying, we got a preacher. See, he was voicing it too. Glory to Jesus. So boy, God has a plan like that for all of us. Not to be preachers or anything, but whatever God's called you to do. Because I look back on my life and I just see that string of the Holy Spirit, how he led and guided me for the right people to meet, all these kinds of things and how to get started and all that. Amazing, isn't it? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. So, man, we're not a plaything of chance. We're here on purpose. Yes. Glory to God. And we're here to put a face on God. We're not here to put any people down or anything. You know, most churches that I went to, and I bet you have experienced it too. I don't think you've done this to me. But whenever I said amen, I had two ushers and they guided me off in the pastor's office to drink Perrier water. One day the Holy Ghost said, Dave, you're missing all the miracles. You go back and you be the last one to leave up there. Because after you say amen, there's going to be more people come to you that were afraid during the meeting. It's a fact. After I said amen last night, what'd we do? Another hour? They all came forward. We prayed for everybody. Glory to God. And it's a good thing God gives you different gifts, right? For the assignment. Hallelujah. So when I went around, when I started praying for sick cows and horses. They never argue with you. They're awesome. Just lock their head in the chute. I was out there on the prairie, man, and I acted like T.L. Osborne many times. In the name of Jesus, fire! God was healing my cows, man. Horses, dogs. My reputation began to go throughout the land. One cow told another cow. Another horse told another horse. That's how I got speaking engagements. Glory to God. Yeah, I tell you what. I'd get my Bible. I'd go sit on the fence. And I'd say, gather around, girls.
I got a message for you today, man. And God was preparing me for church. There's people in the front row that come. And then there's cows in the middle. And then there's cows in the back laid down. That's church. God's getting me all ready for church. Hallelujah. So somebody asked me, did you get any offerings? Yeah, I milked them at night. Hallelujah. God is really good, isn't he? God's got a sense of humor. If you don't believe that, look at the guy next to you. I mean, yeah, we're blessed. Thank you, Jesus. So, man, that's the way I started. Man, so just praying for different things like that. And guess what? It started leading into other things. Yeah. Praise God. I got so many stories like that. Just being faithful. Just doing what God wants you to do. Man, I was down in Indiana with Clifton Coulter. You ever heard of that guy? He's a pastor down there. They brought a Sunday morning. This couple brought Ochi, the dog. Needed a $900 operation. Young couple. They loved their dog. Didn't have the money. So they brought Ochi. So here's Ochi sitting right there going... So I said, Ochi, I understand you need a healing. Here comes. He slid this far on his rear end. I've never seen that. The pastor's wife went, didn't you see that? And old Clifton, he's this kind of guy. He goes, Dave, I'm going to send you a carpet cleaning bill. Ochi was healed. He shook for an hour, man. His tail was going. Boy, he was healed, man. God. Hallelujah. So my advice to you, go find a dog that needs something. Shoot him. Whatever. It's just however you want to get your power out of you. You know, everybody's got a different way how to release the power. Here we are. Born again, spirit-filled people, loaded with the Holy Ghost, and we're begging for more. Oh, Jesus, give me more, more, more. If you had more, you'd blow up like a dynamite stick. You're loaded. If we got a problem in here, it's between our ears. It's what we believe. The reason Christians are having a hard time praying for one another, here's the question. Well, I wonder if they don't get healed. That's none of your business. That's none of your business. See, God has a way of setting me free. After I saw my first miracle in that Presbyterian church, I told my wife, I'm going up the hospital and empty that thing. She said, you go and I'll pray for you. I prayed for everybody. And not one person followed me out. I went to the waiting room. Said, God, what's the problem? He said, hey, Dave, who's doing the healing? Well, I proved it wasn't me. He said, could you take any credit if they got healed? No. Listen to what he said that changed my life. Neither can you take any credit if they don't get healed. I said, oh, that's the program. Yeah, if I pray for a guy and he drops dead, I just step over him and pray for the next one. He said, that's a program. That set me free. That's what keeps Christians bound up. They're afraid. What happens if they don't get... That's none of your business. You just do what you know what to do and let God do the rest. Hallelujah. Boy, it works. Thank you, Jesus. So that's... how you learn how to release the gifts, the power that's in you.
So I went around the world blowing on people because I read Jesus breathed on his disciples. God breathed in Adam breath. And I looked up the word breath. It's ruha. It means whirlwind, power. So blowing up folks. Hallelujah. You know what's really working in my life right now is this gift of women can't have babies. Is there maybe there's a woman in here who can't have any babies? I think I got your answer. All I can do is get you healed and that's something else has to happen. But anyway. It works. I found out the more you work the gift, the greater it gets. I'm telling people now they're going to have a girl. They're going to have a boy. Yeah, how many kids they're going to have. That's how that gift just expands. Oh, man, that's exciting. Man, so I can read them, right? We prayed for, I don't know how many women this weekend. Couldn't have any babies.
One in New York.
Yeah, one in New York. We're in Chicago. We prayed for this lady in New York. God told me what's the problem. Her body was too cold. She needed to get hotter. So God raised the temperature in her body. Yeah, and told me where what ovary was wrong. This sister called her sister. She woke up sweating. Is that truth?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was in Alaska, prayed for a gal in Arizona, her daughter. Couldn't have any kids. We prayed for her. I said, it's the left ovary. God healed her from Alaska. They called me later. She's pregnant. Never had any kids. She's 44 years old. They called me when the little boy was born. Hallelujah. What do we got to lose? Nothing. Gain everything. We got somebody's miracle right here. If we're bold enough to say it. Hallelujah. Yeah. So then God will give you other ways. Hallelujah. Because I've got to explain this because we're going to have a major miracle service tonight, okay? Glory to God. And we'll get anybody healed this morning that won't be here tonight. No problem. Hallelujah. It won't take long. That's about it. Right? So God gave me the chop. This woman stood in front of me in South Dakota, and man, all at once my eyes were opened in the spirit, and I saw seven hoses come into her back. I'm like, what is that? And God said, those are oppressions, depressions, sicknesses, curses of the generation, different things like that. I said, God, what do you want me to do about that? He said, take your arm like a sword and cut them off. I went, I got good peripheral vision. I went, awesome. How'd you like to see your arm go into a sword? Yeah. Like a marine sword. And all at once fire went. I went, boss. I wanted to say, forget you, lady. I'm going to go watch my sword. See, that's what Christians do. They get these gifts and they walk around. This is my gift. My gift. It's not your gift. It's for the folks. Hallelujah. So I told this lady, man, I got a sword and you got seven hoses in your back. What do you want me to do? And she said, chop, brother, chop. Yeah, that's not very religious, but cut, cut, cut. But it's chop, chop, chop. So I forgot I was Swedish. And I became Japanese. Man, I chopped her and she about killed two ushers, man. Said, boy, I got to ease up on that. I'm killing my ushers. Now I've turned it into a gun. I like to shoot. I was up there with the Indians, Grand Chief, Canada, just a while back. He's a big old Grand Chief. There's only three of them in Canada.
Bigabuegas, God has a sense of humor. He sent this cowboy up here to shoot the Indians.
I'm glad he said it. You see, you know what I'm doing right now? I am messing up religion. I know some of you are thinking, God is not going to honor anything. He wouldn't do anything for this guy. No. Hallelujah. I'm just being myself. Glory to God. I prayed for this big lady in California. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I will. She's a big lady. Had a little tiny usher behind her. I knew it was going to be an accident, but... you know, that's his problem. So, man, I shot that woman. Boom! Boy, she knocked him about 5 feet. He went rolling. Thank God she didn't squash him. Now, don't fall out of your chair when I say this. When she hit the floor, she passed gas. The whole church heard it. Thank God I had my back to them all. I about bit this lip off. I was laughing so hard. I'll tell you, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. So I helped this big lady up. And boy, did she have a sense of humor, because all the way back to her chair, she's going, bad, bad, bad. Are you getting anything out of this message yet? Let's all laugh for a while. Did you know the University of California made a study on this? Laughter? They said 10 seconds of good belly laughter is better than 30 minutes of hard rowing. So far, you're in good shape. You know what this? That's the Holy Ghost. He's not religious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd rather see you laugh than going. Reminds me about Brother Hagin again. First time I ever seen Hagin. I drove all the way to... this woman's going... I went to Albuquerque, New Mexico, to see Brother Hagin. He doesn't have much of humor or anything. You know, it's kind of... You know, and I'm looking at him for the first time. I heard about him, everything. And at the end, he goes, "We're going to laugh at the devil." That's about the way he said it. He goes, "All you got to do is go, ha ha, ho ho." I think, ugh. So Brother Hagin goes, "Ha ha." That thing hit me. I was on the floor. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh. Off of one ha-ha. And my brain said, nobody's going to go ha-ha. But as soon as I said ha-ha, that's about how it ended up. I think he messed me up. You know what? We're having a message. You won't forget this one. Why don't we just go ahead and try that? You ready? You want to take over, Pastor? Now what do we do? You know, I heard Jesus just saying, this is what I'm talking about. Rejoice and be glad. Your name's written in the book. Wow. In my presence there is fullness of what? Joy. There's fullness of joy. The Holy Spirit is here. Hallelujah. So I know what I'm going to do. We're going to heal the sick. We're going to do all this stuff. And before I do that, I got to turn it back to the pastor because this meeting's going to get out of hand. Boy,
praise the Lord. I'm tempted, but
you got something to say.
I got something to say. Then you can shoot me. We're going to receive our offering for Brother Dave now, and then we're going to turn him loose again. Like he says, it'll get out of control here. But we don't want to be in control. We want God in control. Amen.
It's the hardest.
I'm just reminded very quickly here. In the book of Jude, the 21st verse, it says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now that at first would strike you as kind of a strange statement. What do you mean, keep yourself in the love of God? I mean, God loves me, and there's nothing I could do that would ever cause him to not love me. But we have to intentionally, on purpose, actively keep ourselves in the love of God. One of the things you do is come to a gathering, a church meeting like this, not just here where Brother Dave, but I would say this, regularly fellowshipping with the brothers and sisters, keep yourself in the love of God. It helps you tremendously. You know, the folks, the brothers and sisters can love on you. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. How's this connected to offering? Well, we're going to receive an offering right now, and we just help Dave continue to go. Now, not only here, but other places as well. And as I mentioned when I was introducing Dave, as much as anyone I know, he goes here and there and shares the love of God. You feel better already, don't you? Inside, outside, yeah. So let's help him go place to place sharing that love of God. Keep yourself in the love. See, that's something we have to do, as I mentioned, on purpose, intentionally, and actively. So for yourself, for others, let's receive an offering that helps the love of God continue to go to so many places where we all and they all need the love of God expressed to us in very tangible ways. Amen? Father, we just thank you right now for a great offering, helping Dave and his ministry with travel expenses and everything that they need, everything that they have need of. Father, we call that need supplied. We agree with the word. He's blessed. He's blessed. He's blessed by covenant, having received the same inheritance as Abraham. The blessing is upon him. Father, we thank you for seed sown so that he can go. We thank you for blessing upon that seed, that the sower is also the reaper. So, Father, we thank you for that as we give now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're making out a check, just make it to Renew Church. We'll gather that all together and then make one check for Brother Dave. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't disconnect. I tell you what we're going to do here. Praise the Lord. We're going to flow in the anointing. So one of the reasons that Brother Hagin said that when you asked him to pray for you, he said, no, but there will come a time when I will. So he wanted to do that under the direction, leading, and the anointing of the Spirit.
That's true.
Not just out of his head.
That's right. That's exactly what I got.
That's why he said that. And that was his practice with a lot of people. You'll hear him say that a lot, Brother Hagin. So we're about to, again, unleash the anointing of God. And we don't know start or finish when exactly, you know. He doesn't fit our plans. So we need to fit his plans. So for that reason, we're going to call. Well, there will be a no dismissal.
Okay.
No official.
That's really great.
No official end of service. Don't wait for me to come up and say, okay, we're done. Yeah. On your way out, the book table is there. Pick up those resources, materials. Come on back tonight. But we're just going to let God be God. Let the Holy Ghost flow. Let Dave and the anointing upon him flow. And you just do whatever you feel led to do. I would encourage you, even if you don't think you need anything, it don't matter. The problem is you think you don't need anything. Amen. Avail yourself to the anointing of God through him. And there's blessing sometimes just being around and even just watching.
That's right.
Amen. Sometimes you catch things just by being near.
That's what I've happened to me.
Yeah. Just be around it. Amen. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Go right ahead.
Well, the Baptist has already beat you there, so we just well enjoy ourselves for another hour or whatever. Really, this is an unique service. This doesn't happen all the time. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Wow.